This is Indian Noir. You're listening to Season 3, Episode 8 of His Night Begins. Praveen broke out of the sanctuary just before sunrise. He didn't feel confident stealing one of the heavier Harleys, so he jacked the small dirt bike which belonged to one of the chefs who serviced the homeless shelter. He had fought the demon in his soul with determination for several days, but eventually the gnawing hunger got to him. He was ready to give in to temptation. Praveen knew the easiest way to get a quick fix was to return to the drug den where his father had found him. He rode in the muted light of early dawn, enjoying the cool wind buffeting his hair. Soon he would be able to inhale sweet vapors that will fill his blood with fire and ice. When he reached the den, an ambulance was parked up front. The paramedic, who was attending to the overdosed kid, the day his father dragged him into the gypsy, was leaning against the ambulance, enjoying a cigarette. Praveen parked the bike and strode past him without acknowledging his presence.
"You heading in there to get yourself killed?"
the paramedic asked. Praveen scoffed.
"I came to pick up a dead kid, but I have room for one more. I'm happy to wait for you."
Praveen showed him the middle finger as he walked on.
"I remember you and your father from the other day,"
the paramedic said. Praveen turned around and stormed in the direction of the paramedic, anger writ large on his face.
"He's not my father. He's a fucking monster," Praveen said, getting up close and personal with the man.
The paramedic threw his cigarette away and said,
"I saw the concern and sadness in that man you called a monster when he mistook the patient I was looking after for you, his dearest son."
He pushed his chest against Praveen's face and walked him back.
"Kid, I see a lot of gung-ho dickwad teenagers like you who think the world is black and white. You think you deserve to be the center of attention in a world that has gone to hell. I got news for you. You are part of the system just like everybody else, and the sooner you learn to be flexible about your circumstances, the better it will be for you. And you could start with flushing down some of those shitty thoughts filling up your brain, like the fact that you think your father doesn't love you. Now, I don't know what he's done, but I refuse to believe that man has only wronged you. Find what is right with the cards that you're dealt with, and play the long game. Don't end up in a morgue before your time, kid."
Praveen looked flustered as he stepped back and surveyed his surroundings. The dilapidated joint, just like its transient pill-popping occupants, was a monument to decay. If he stayed on, he would become part of its rot and demise. The paramedic's words stung him. He no longer felt the impulse to drown his pain in the miasma offered by drugs. For now, anyways. The need would return. It would conquer him again. He would make the same trip. Did his father love him? Was that man capable of acts of affection, given his violent history? Sure, he was trying to be a responsible father recently, but how much of that was an act? Was the paramedic right about his worldview? Praveen knew the answers could not be found in the hallucinogenic crystals offered up by the drug den. For now, he would have to return to his treatment. He gave the paramedic an apologetic nod and then jumped on the dirt bike to head back to the sanctuary.
Uncle Arya, Virat's guru, was used to seeing blurred shapes over the plastic bump that was the mouthpiece linking him to the oxygen tanks. Usually, these shapes resolved into nothingness. Shadows or fractal manifestations of light dictated by the movement of the sun across the sky. For a dying man, these were valued consolations. When pain and labored breathing are your constant companions, shadowy manifestations are like angels. But this new darkness creeping into the corner of his vision was not angelic. It was a fallen creature caressing its gun. Uncle Arya removed his mask.
"It's you, Nishachar. Is that what they still call you these days?"
he said.
"Yes. You gave me that name, Guru. I'm very protective of it,"
the Nishachar said.
"I had a feeling you would come for me."
The Nishachar sighed in response.
Are you going to kill Virat?"
Uncle Arya asked. The Nishachar nodded as he sat on the bed. A chill spread through the old man's body. He had always felt that in the proximity of one of his favorite students.
"I suppose there is no other way," Uncle Arya said. "I'm afraid so,"
the Nishachar said as he slowly unplugged the cables and tubes on the array of medical equipment that surrounded the old man.
"There is only one entry point, a heavily guarded gatehouse. The other three sides of the warehouse are surrounded by swampland. There are a few tiny islands on the swamp, all heavily mined,"
Sartaj Singh explained as Pastor Matthew and Virat surveyed the syndicate's drug manufacturing facility on Google Maps.
"Let's say we take out all the guards on the outer perimeter. That gives ample warning to the gunmen inside,"
Sartaj continued.
"They will need a substantial fuel source to maintain a large production facility like this one,"
Virat observed.
"I know what you're thinking, Virat Bhai. The syndicate has got that covered too. While they have supplied electricity to the premises, they know how vulnerable the facility can be to saboteurs who might try to get their hands on the grid,"
Sartaj began saying. "Petrol? Diesel?" the pastor interrupted. Sartaj shook his head.
"They don't let fuel tankers into the compound."
The pastor sighed and shook his head disappointedly.
"They have a gas pipeline that is mostly underground, drawn direct from the Chhattispur refinery,"
Sartaj said.
"Why did you say mostly?"
Virat asked.
"Here, at the rightmost point, on the front boundary wall, there is a conduit junction where the pipe briefly surfaces to be able to better link to the facility,"
Sartaj said, pointing at a black shape on the map.
"But there is a guard tower close to the wall, overlooking the spot, which houses a sniper waiting to pick off any pests,"
Virat said with a smile. Sartaj nodded. The pastor made a sound.
"What are we going to do, Virat Bhai?"
Sartaj said, with a frustrated look on his face.
"A half-assed attack damaging the facade of this esteemed institution is not what we are looking for. We are going to burn this thing to the ground,"
Virat said. The pastor nodded in agreement.
"Can your contact get us the blueprints for the gas pipeline layout within the warehouse as well?"
Virat asked.
Yes, why?
Sartaj asked.
I know a man who likes to blow up things, Vidat said.
They killed the horses?
Leduvnaik tried to express his incredulity through a mouthful of his favorite delicacy. Vidat nodded and smacked his lips at the same time.
Bastards, Vinayak said,
rubbing crumbs off his palms. He was seated on a milestone marker on the side of a highway, next to his parked Mercedes-Benz Sprinter panel van. Vidat had just finished recounting the events of the past month and his initial thoughts on the plan to attack the syndicate's warehouse. Vinayak had gone through an entire packet of ledus during the duration of the tale. The look on his face indicated that he had enough details to proceed to the recommendation phase. He got up, picked and devoured tiny morsels of ledu clinging to his shirt as he approached his van.
Did you find anything on Pepe? Vidat asked.
Not yet, but I am close. This is not the first time I have been asked to hack the accounts of syndicate members. But to get to the top, I have to dig deeper. It's only been a week since you made the request, boss. Be patient, Vinayak said.
He opened the side door to reveal a host of gleaming steel cabinets and electronics, including military-grade scanners and surveillance equipment. He opened a tiny panel and pressed a button. Cabinet walls parted to reveal cases full of gleaming guns. MP5s, FNFLs, G3s, AR-15s, RPG-7s, Uzis, Remingtons, Glocks, all neatly arrayed in drool-inducing rows, underlit by blue LEDs.
Nice, Vidat said with a smile.
Don't be a stranger, Virubhai. Come inside, Vinayak said.
Vidat stepped into the van and the door closed behind him automatically. The van, which was air-conditioned, provided a respite from the hot afternoon sun they had endured moments ago.
Can you organize the vehicle?
Vidat asked as he sank into a comfy leather chair.
The automated one? Sure. They conducted a Navy trial in Noida a few months ago, and I broke into the garage at night and scanned the automation systems of the self-driving car, Vinayak said with a smile, mightily amused with himself.
I don't have time for you to build an automated vehicle for me. We are go-go-go tomorrow evening, Vidat said.
Well, Ledu said, and we will have to break into the garage of a certain Punjabi real estate baron 100 km from here. But that would mean the rates double.
Naturally, Vidat said.
Vinayak guffawed.
About the gas supply plumbing,
Vinayak said, playing with a Swiss Army knife.
What about it? Vidat said.
There are these Chinese probes, the size of little goalies, used to map pipes in their strategically important installations. They're used to check for surveillance bugs or damage caused by saboteurs. It can propel itself through the pipes and get to where you want it to go, Vinayak said.
And you can rig it to explode? Vidat inquired.
It was Vinayak's turn to say, naturally.
All right, let's do some gun shopping, Vidat said with a twinkle in his eye.